Hello, this is Brother Mike once again at May-21, 2011.com. Continuing in our Bible reading with comments here and there in the book of John. We finished chapter 4 the last time, and we're going to continue in John chapter 5. The reason we're doing this is not for a detailed Bible study. I haven't premeditated this stuff in advance. I'm just reading and speaking things that may perhaps come to my mind as I'm reading. It's meant to set our minds on things above, to obey the command in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, that says to give attendance to the reading of Scripture. And I can't think of a better time to be doing that since May 21, and now we're seeking and waiting on the Lord for His guidance in this period of time. I can't think of anything better to do than just simply to read His Word and pray. Lift the spirit, lift the soul for His children. Well, let's continue on here in John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is stirred up, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And isn't that how Jesus comes to save His people? It's like we're all sitting, if at least we recognize that we do have an illness of sin. At least we would be in our right mind, some way to be healed of that disease of sin. And this man was waiting by the pool that would be stirred up by angels that would come down at a certain time, and anyone that was in the water would be healed of their infirmity. Now Jesus comes to this man and realized that this man had been in that situation for a long time, and Jesus just simply said, take up thy bed and walk. That's what God says to us when He saves us, like when He said to Lazarus, come forth. It's God's choice. It's God's first initiative by which His people are saved and healed from their sin-sick souls. And that was the case here as well. Jesus said, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And it was on a Sabbath day. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You know, the Jews believed there was not to do any type of work on the Sabbath day, you know, in obedience to what they thought the Scripture was teaching, to their traditions. Jesus answered them, or not Jesus answered him, but the man that was healed answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, Jesus is saying his Father's working on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, they misinterpreted. The Jewish leaders thought that meant no work whatsoever. But in reality, it never meant not to do spiritual work. Salvation is the spiritual work of God. And the Sabbath itself was a representation of that. That rest, that day of rest, was pointing to the rest that one of God's people in salvation have in Him, resting in His salvation, that He does all the work and they have done nothing. Just like the man at the pool that we're now discussing, Jesus said, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man just rose and took up his bed, and he was saved. And that was on a Sabbath day. And that is the kind of work that God has always done on the Sabbath. But these Jews thought it was a work, and so they were persecuting Jesus and thinking it was wrong that Jesus had done that. But it was the very essence of what the Sabbath meant. So we can begin to see how far the Jews were off from understanding the meaning of the Sabbath day. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So Jesus is saying the hour is at this time. It was about 2,000 years ago. It was the hour in which the dead were hearing the voice of the Son of God, and they were coming to life, that is, spiritual life. Before one is saved, we know we're spiritually dead. But upon hearing the voice of God, those whom God has chosen will come to life. When they hear the word of God, they shall come to life. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is talking about the final resurrection on the last day, when all those who are in the graves shall come forth, whether saved or not. Those who are not saved, their works will be found evil. Those who are saved, their works will be found to be good. Jesus continues, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You said unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself, alone. There's other accounts in Scripture in which they came to try to make Jesus king. Obviously, if someone can feed you from just a couple loaves and five loaves and just a few fish, you can feed 5,000 people. That's kind of the people, the kind of person I think I'd want for my king as well, because he can just kind of produce food out of the middle of nowhere and feed his people. So we can understand why they would have wanted to make him king. But Jesus departed from them, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom had nothing to do with this physical world. And yet still today we have many Christians holding to what's called the premillennial viewpoint, that Christ is going to rule and reign down here on earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to be king on this earth. And this just goes contrary to what he said here. My kingdom is not of this world. And yet this is a very popular teaching in the Christian world today, this premillennialism, in which Christ is in the near future supposed to come down and rule and reign for 1,000 years on this planet. But I think as they try to do that, Jesus is saying, my kingdom is not of this world. His world is really of the next, the new heaven and the new earth, in which all his people are destined for, and which we all long for above all else, is to leave this world and to be with our King in the new world, the new earth, and the new heaven. Now, as we continue, and when even was come now, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias near unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that you also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to stop here just for a moment and comment on this verse because it's so important. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me. Now we know that's not possible to be the whole world. The Father didn't give him the whole world, every last human being, because then they would all come to him. Because it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We know from many other scriptures that God has destined certain and particular people based on grace alone, nothing to do with them, unto salvation. And the rest he has not. And it's not something we can fully understand, but we do know the Bible teaches it. We know that all that the Father giveth me, as Jesus said, will come to him. And all that come to him, he'll in no wise cast out. He's not going to cast out or lose any of them. For I came down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So every single last human being that the Father has destined to come to Jesus during some time throughout history, they will and they did come to Jesus. Everyone that has been predestined will come to Jesus, because they are the ones that have been given to Jesus for salvation. And it says here he'll lose none of them, but he'll raise them up again at the last day, at the resurrection. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I mean, over and over Jesus is saying, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, in this case, as draw him. This idea, this word draw, is the idea of like drawing a net full of fish. Everyone that the Father has given to Jesus will be drawn to him and saved, like a net coming around a person and pulling them to shore. It's guaranteed to happen. And I will raise him up at the last day. Again, Jesus will lose none of his people. They will be raised on the last day, and it's all the work of God. Remember, the scripture said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And the ones who truly believe are the ones that the Father has given to him. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Here it says, he who believes on me has everlasting life. Well, we got to connect that with the fact that the only ones who will believe are the ones that the Father has given him. And there are many who have a false belief, who think by believing, the work of believing has saved them. churches are full of people like this. The work of believing or being baptized or some other kind of work or faith. We know the scripture teaches that faith is a work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I believe it is, it speaks of the work of faith. Faith is a work. And works cannot save us. We're saved because we've been given to the Son by the Father. And that's also the reason why any of His people really come to believe in Him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. Now this idea of Jesus speaking about him who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life, eternal life. Denomination in particular, the Roman Catholicism, has taken this quite literally and thinks that you have to partake literally of his flesh, his body, and of his blood, the wine. And so in their mass, the priest partakes of the wine, and the people partake of the bread, which literally, they believe, turns into Christ's body. And the wine literally turns into his blood. They take this quite literally, that they have to continue doing this on a regular basis, or there is no life in them in accord with this scripture. Now, that's not a true teaching, because Jesus is speaking spiritually here, and he's using physical examples to teach us spiritual truths. Now let's continue reading in verse 59 of chapter 6. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? I mean, after all, he was saying you have to eat of his flesh, drink of his blood. How in the world can anyone do that? Or we just take a bite out of him or something? And it was a hard saying for them to understand. They couldn't understand what he was saying, because we know the scripture says that the unregenerate man cannot discern spiritual things. They're stuck and enslaved really just to the literal physical things, and they have a hard time seeing, in fact impossible to see the true spiritual things until God saves them. Well, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, doth this offend you? What then if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now here Jesus tells us what he meant by eating of his body and eating of his blood. He didn't mean literally. He says right here, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. See, to partake of Christ's body is to become born again by the Holy Spirit. And that's partaking of his body and of his blood. You see, it's meant to have a spiritual meaning. The flesh profits nothing. See, the focus is the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, human nature doesn't like the fact that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father has given them to him. It sounds like it's unfair. It just goes so contrary to human pride and dignity. And when they heard that no man could come to him except it were given unto him of my Father. And they also heard the fact that you have to literally eat, sounded like you had to literally eat of his body and his flesh. Many turned back and they wouldn't walk with him anymore. Because it just is hard, impossible to understand. It just doesn't make sense to the human mind. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And when we believe and are sure, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered then, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. So the reason that the 12, Simon Peter and the truly saved disciples of Christ, did not turn away from him after all these hard sayings, Jesus is making clear, Peter, are you going to turn away from me too? Are you going to turn back like all these other disciples? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, the reason that Peter responded this way and the other disciples that were truly saved, except Simon Iscariot, is because Jesus said, Did not I choose you, 12? But one of you is a devil. So, the only reason that we stay with Jesus, because there's many hard teachings in the Bible, many hard teachings from Jesus that just don't make human sense. And the only reason that anyone would stay and walk with him, continue in his word on an ongoing basis, is because God chose them, not because they chose God. If it was left up to us, we would all want to turn away from God, because a lot of things just don't seem to make sense to the human mind. Now we're in chapter 7 of John. We'll start reading here. Anyway, this chapter 6 was an excellent chapter for showing people that the teachings that no man can come to Christ except God has chosen them to come to Christ. And God has chosen particular people. He hasn't chosen every human being. This chapter over and over again emphasizes that. So if you ever need to try to show someone that, it's a good chapter to have someone read John chapter 6. But let's start in John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go you up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, Then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one good work, and you all marvel? Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man? If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. His hour was not yet come. Isn't that God is in control of all things, the providence of God? It's just amazing. Nothing can happen outside of the will of God. Everything is working according to the plan of God, and all things are working for the good of God's people without exception. But you might say then, that means that God is the cause of sin. No, God is not the cause of sin. Human beings' hearts, evil hearts, are the cause of sins, but God uses those sins. He uses the sins they commit and directs them in a way that will fulfill his plan. He's not responsible for the sin, but it all works out according to his plan. Now, that doesn't make sense to the human mind. It goes beyond our understanding, but it's true. God's not responsible for making them sin, and yet all things are working out according to his plan. It's just not comprehensible. It goes beyond our understanding. But the fact is that all things work out in his time and his way, completely according to his schedule. Well, we then read that they then sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I go, thither you cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast,
Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never a man spake like this man. Then answered them, the Pharisees, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hears him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. That ends chapter 7, and we'll stop here for today. May the Lord bless you.